Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
So excited for it. What do you mean we're live, Alyssa? Like right now?
Like right
on the internet? Oh my gosh. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the DMBA show.
Let's go.
Let's go. Nailed it.
Yeah,
absolutely nailed it.
Come
our
on.
Guy. Special show for you today. Not because I have Brendan Vogt. He's always here.
Thanks. Happy. I'm always happy to be here. Is what's really happening.
You're not always happy to be here. You're happy to be here today. I can tell, though.
Oh, over there, more than I get credit for. I feel like
that's a great point. Though.
Yeah, thanks,
I got you, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
I got you over
thanks,
here.
Doc.
The man with the wind in his hair, Harrison Wind.
I'm happy to be here today, Adam.
Well, that's good to know. It looks that shirt is this. I think I've said this before. The same color of your skin. If you glance quickly, it looks like
no,
you're
it's
naked.
Not. It's, yeah, it's
and
not.
Then.
No,
over
not.
Here.
No, it's not.
Big Market Brooks from Nuggets.com,
wow.
AKA Matty Ice, AKA Matt Brooks.
From San
good
Francisco
to Brooklyn
to Denver.
Bi-coastal and now no coastal. So, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dude, excited to have
thanks
you
for
on,
being
man.
Here.
The Nuggets have never not won a championship with you here.
True. True.
Do you
I'm
ever?
Also the least famous guest on this show ever. So.
No, that's not true.
That's too true. I don't think that's true.
That's not true. I mean, it might be.
You know what? The people love Matt Brooks.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think I told you this the other day. You're a chameleon. You came here. You look like if you ever see the AI, a person from every state. If they did a person from Colorado,
this
it'd be
is
Matt
not
Brooks's
a compliment.
I could be on like the state coins and have a different look every time.
You've got you went to the Bruce Brown School of Assimilation.
Yeah,
hey, yeah,
that's a great.
You
call
move
out.
To Denver. You grow the hair a little longer.
So
you
get
a beard.
You get the beard.
Yeah,
yeah, you fit in.
So I think it's great. I mean that. You said you don't know if that's a compliment. I mean it as a full compliment. You know how much I love Colorado.
What?
You guys know how much. On today's show, guys, we're going to break down the series, man. I can't wait to get Matt's thoughts on it. We've given some of our initial thoughts, but I'm curious to hear what Matt thinks. We're also going to have some fun with him, some topics around the NBA, even look at some of the series. But we're going to start. The Nuggets had practice today. On a scale of 1 to 10, how exciting was it?
You go first, Matt.
6. See, I liked it because I got to ask questions and I couldn't do that the first day. So it was like less media, which for me, that's like 2 extra points.
That's true.
Whenever there's practice, because we're in the corner of the gym. And like if there's over 30 media members, it's cooked. Like you're not getting a question. You're lucky if you hear if like any of the availabilities. So.
Well, it was convenient that today practice lined up exactly with a Broncos press conference.
Oh really?
And
yeah.
A Deion Sanders.
Coach Prime.
And a thing in Boulder too. So less media today.
Did Michael Malone comment on that?
He didn't.
Usually he's great about that. Like, oh, where'd everybody go now?
Yeah, you're right.
Because I host the show now more often than not. Every time I go to the arena, I feel Malone makes comment of, oh, good for you to join us today.
Yeah.
Haven't seen you in a long
time. You're now one of those guys.
I'm one of those guys now. It is
you're the big market.
It's so true.
Big market things have changed.
He did, on his way out, he did laugh about our challenge of thinking of fresh questions for him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because... You know, not a lot's changed since the last time we talked to the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But
Matt, did you ask Michael Malone about the importance of winning game one today?
Oh, I should have. Yeah.
No, it's okay because three other people asked that.
Yeah.
Wait, the same question came through? Like, that's hilarious. I love the idea of like you show up with a question in mind, which is good to do. But I love that.
Yeah, it's good to be prepared.
You only have one and it's like, crap, somebody asked it. I've got
also,
nothing.
What do you say to that? Oh, we should. You're right.
You know, I've never thought about that.
He was pretty good about it.
Wait, now so we go up 1-0 if we do that?
Now that you mention it.
You're a smart
pretty
guy.
Pretty important.
Yeah.
Pretty important.
So this is because I was not. That was one of the big media today. I was out covering Coach Prime. I'm kidding. But I was not available.
You're kidding. You're at the Broncos.
That got me.
Yeah. At the Broncos. So I didn't get to be there today, but it sounds like, and this is my most important, it's actually probably 50% of the value of attending these specific pressers is, I always say, if Malone's in a good mood, he must be feeling good about the team. So where were we?
Okay, so we did this with Katie yesterday. We tried to predict how the days would go.
Right.
We were wrong.
Really?
So good practice yesterday, excellent practice today.
Agreed.
Where does that leave us, though? Because do you want to finish on a poor note?
No.
So have we just moved beyond the need for a bad practice?
ding, 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 ding.
Well, it's not even the need for it. It might be that this team is just veteran enough, has enough leadership, that it's like they just don't have the bad practice. They too know day two is usually the bad one.
They've also played like seven playoff games against the Lakers this in the last year because they approached the three regular season games like playoff games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, you know what you know on both sides. So I feel like that was one of my big takeaways is like Denver really knows what they're going to run, what they're going to see. I asked Malone about like the effectiveness of using LeBron as a screener. And he was like, we're ready for that. Like, we know what's going to come from that. We've had like spirited debates within our coaching staff about how we want to defend it. So, like, they know what's coming. Like, this is not going to be like, whoa, LeBron's setting ball screens in game one. Like, they're going to be like, all right, we've seen this for, like, seven games now that had playoff intensity.
Yeah. They should be that way, though, you know? Like, this Lakers team isn't that much different from the team they played in the playoffs. It's not that much different from the team they played in the regular season four times. There's some interesting variables, like the Gabe Vincent X factor is a thing they haven't really seen before, but that's a very small detail in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It is interesting though, the note about LeBron, because I think that for a long time, this is going back to like 2016, he was always a reluctant screener and he's become more of a screener now. He could be the best screener in the NBA, the best screened role player. Teams like to switch now. It takes a little bit away, but Denver won't want to. And he is so, being a roller, you're either great at dunking it over the top, or you're great pick and pop, or you're great as just a decision maker four and three. LeBron, Jokic is probably better. He might be number two as in terms of guys you would want rolling to the rim. Yeah. So that's a great question, honestly, that you asked. Do you think we're going to see a ton of it?
I honestly don't think they've run it enough.
I agree.
The Lakers. I'm surprised they haven't run it more. And I followed up and I was like, because I kind of just was like, I couldn't ask that. I can't be like, oh, I didn't think they haven't run it more. Because he's like, cut this
I mean,
guy
come
off.
On. Come
but
on.
Like, I was kind of like, yeah, like, you know, why, like, is there something about having to set ball screens over and over and over that's like really physically taxing?
Right.
And he said, yeah, to a degree, but also LeBron's like superhuman. Like, he just, every time, you know, you feel like he's going to run out of gas, he doesn't, which is like fair. Like, in fairness, yes, LeBron is like, we've never seen another player like him. I will say, I think in the conference finals games, especially, but even in these regular season games, I do think he's run out of gas a little bit, or at least they have taken shots at the very end that lets Denver off the hook a lot. Where it's like, okay, pull up three-pointer from LeBron, where we have Jokic and drop coverage. We're okay with that versus LeBron setting a ball screen, rolling, and is somehow at the rim before like anybody can even get there. Like, it's just, so I agree with his point, but I do think like just watching these games, and again, a lot can change. LeBron has 4 days off. You're facing him in the first round instead of round three.
Right.
There has been a little bit of that. I do think there's been a little bit of attrition at the end of games for the Lakers.
I love your point about the screening, though. I think it's the number one thing Jamal doesn't get credit for. Not just that he's a great screener, and he is. He plays the angles well. That, by the way, what angle to set a screen is all about reading the defense, and he's great at it. But more than that, part of why I think LeBron doesn't do it is because what you just said, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
And it's not glorifying either.
It's not exactly.
I mean, it's not. Like, you know, I think
Rudy Gobert, where it's a joke. Screen assist?
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's not.
Yeah.
You're a star player and you're setting ball screens for the entire way down in a basketball game. Like, it's not super glorifying. Doesn't matter how effective it is. I do think there's some part of it that plays into that. But
Murray's willingness to me is such a big underrated thing, that he is a 6'5 guard. And he sets so many ball screens.
6'5"? Okay. I mean, his. Do you think he's 6'5", Matt?
He's 6'4.5". I'm almost positive. I bet you 6'4.5".
Okay. Okay. All right. His willingness, but also, like you said, he's good at it. And Jamal always says it's because he grew up playing as a big man. So he's kind of perfected it, I feel like, over the years.
It's hilarious, man. You know how we have little highlights of Yoke as a little kid playing and he's running the break and the chubby guy? I want to see Murray as the biggest guy on the court. Just shacting everybody. You know?
Just setting the perfect screen.
Setting the greatest screen. Post moves and everything. It'd be hilarious. Yeah.
And then one area, you know, where Malone does have concern about LeBron. I mean, Malone is very quick to show reverence to LeBron James. He's like an ultimate LeBron respecter.
Right. Well.
At least before a series starts.
Yeah.
There we go. That's a good point. He went to the fast break point thing again, but more specifically LeBron in transition and how he's a one-man fast break, averages about 5 fast break points per game on his own, but that number actually jumps up to 6 against the Nuggets. And that obviously jives with the eye test. I'm sure you guys agree. Like, where LeBron's been effective in these last 7-8 matchups has been... like, okay, there's my opportunity to run. There's still no one alive that can stop me in transition. And so that's one area they're focused on for sure.
But this to me is the ultimate regular season versus playoff dynamic. Because in the regular season, you're just a little lazier. You just don't get back.
Right.
You don't have that attention to detail. I mean, in the playoffs, usually you're locked into where you can limit the fast break points more. So I don't expect that to be like a huge thing. It is an area where, like, if the Nuggets aren't locked in, the Lakers can definitely kill them from in that aspect. But Malone also said he thought that's where New Orleans got in trouble in the play-in game.
Yeah.
Was the turnovers and then the missed shots leading
right
to the Laker fast break points.
Well, part of that was, like, New Orleans just didn't have, like, a lot of shot creation or even, like, just semblance of offense at certain points. I don't expect that happening with Denver, especially when they shorten their rotation. There's less of these like all bench lineups. You're going to be getting shots more consistently, good shots more consistently, made shots. And that's going to bleed into, hey, we're not having to play transition defense. Like, I know Malone today pointed out, well, even if on make or miss, they're pushing the ball. But yeah, it's different. Like, if you're catching like a jumper that's short and it flies off the rim and then it just kind of kickstarts your fast break, it's a lot different if you're taking out underneath the basket, for example.
And that's the Lakers want to play that the way they want to run. But then Jokic will do that to AD on the Nuggets side of things as well. And there's a lot of like, that's what the Lakers are good at. I also think this is a tough dynamic for Anthony Davis to just be on either end of the floor. Oh, we're running again. We're running again. I honestly, you know, this sounds crazy 4 or 5 years ago, but Jokic is a better conditioned big, or at least isn't working so hard on defense to a futile extent that he's gassed by the end of the fourth.
Little of A, little of B, I think.
Yeah.
He wins that series from free throw line to free throw line.
Right.
It's really interesting. It's happened all throughout last year.
Yeah.
The Lakers came early, by the way, right? Aren't they in town? Did I not hear
they're
this?
In town?
I heard
they practiced today, I think.
In LA?
I think that was their last today.
Somebody told me they came over early. Somebody was telling me today that there was a report they came over early to acclimate to the altitude. And I kept thinking, like, guys, an extra 24 hours. That's not how it works, man. You come
maybe
here.
They thought about it and ended up not coming early.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
What else?
I just feel like the overall kind of theme of Michael Malone's thoughts and just kind of where this team's mindset is everybody's talking about the fact that they're the champs and everybody's trying to take that championship trophy from them. I feel like this is the message Michael Malone's trying to instill in everybody right now. We're the champs, and it's going to be tougher because everybody's coming for us this year. We have this huge target on our back. Everybody wants to beat us more because we're the reigning champs.
Well, it's wild to think, but it really was roughly 360 days ago that Dave McMenamin was making the joke, they're going to lose, get through the conference finals and lose to Denver. The point is, you wouldn't say that now. Even if you felt the same dismissal of this team, you wouldn't say that because it's the reigning champs. That's different. Yeah. It's inherently different. And that's really what he's getting at, I think.
And Murray echoed that sentiment as well, saying the same thing when asked about what's different for these guys, this, you know, going into a playoffs as champs. He said, everyone, there's a target on our backs, and we know that. We know that.
You know what's funny, man? We talk a lot about, is Jokic better as an underdog or as a favorite? Is that a change he has to make? He's been an underdog his whole life. Now he's a favorite, and that's like a weird role to play. I feel like Murray, his nature is, I don't want to say gatekeeping, that's the wrong word, but gate, like being on top and warding off the challengers, you know, like almost to his detriment. He's a guy that, remember when Bones came in and he on one leg challenged him to a shooting contest to beat him? That's his nature, is like, no, I'm on top.
Yeah. And I feel like Jamal exuded a lot of confidence today when he was speaking with the media.
Hell yeah.
He said a couple of things like about repeating and going back to back. Just, I've got confidence in Nikola Jokic. I've got confidence in us. I've got confidence in myself to rise to the occasion. I'm getting a lot of the, you know, the similar vibes that I got last year in terms of the focus, the intensity, and just the attention to detail and how locked in this team seems right now.
One thing he said to me, Matt, that I thought was interesting, said to us rather, is that they know like how long it is. Yeah, it's how long 16 wins in. So even now in the preparation stage, there's maybe a bit of an advantage of like understanding what you're gearing up for physically and mentally. 16 wins.
Yeah, that was probably my biggest takeaway from Murray's availability today, was just like him acknowledging, like, we know that you have to channel that for 3 months. Like, you don't really know what that feels like. I mean, even like covering it, it's not the same. Obviously not the same, but you're like, you're at 2.5 months in. I've never gone that far in the playoffs.
Right.
And I was like, man, this goes on forever.
Yeah, it really does.
So I can't imagine playing that long. And so I do think that's an advantage. And I'm interested to just see what that looks like put in practice. Like, is it just they know what they have to do, like every game to get amped up and ready for it? Or is it like we're going to manage ourselves better throughout that run?
Right.
What does that look like?
Or did he mean the mental side of it too, maybe?
Yeah,
or just not getting too high, too low?
I think Jamal was talking about just the, what did he say? Like, he was talking about how the adrenaline's higher, you know, the minutes are higher, all that kind of stuff. But just the intensity and focus that you have to get to every playoff game, and then you got to get to that level again 48 hours later and then get to it again. I feel like them going through it once, going all the way last season, they know the level they have to get to every night now.
I love that, man. You guys called this like a, what did you say, a 6 out of 10? Just hearing it from you guys, I'm at 11 out of 10.
Well, that's just because we're so good at describing stuff.
You are, well, just telling me that Murray is confident and all this stuff, I'm like, all right, man, that's all I needed to hear.
Are you changing your series prediction now?
Nuggets in 3, baby. Let's go.
I do think Murray would love to change the playoff Murray thing insofar as I think he'd like to be a well-rounded, like, regular season consistent player. I'm sure that's his goal. But to me, there was a little bit of embracing the playoff riser today as well. And you just said, look, playoffs is the time when the best players perform. I tried to do that. And I felt like he was fighting off a couple smiles at times because there was a little bit of like a locked in thing. But he acknowledges this. Yeah. You know, he didn't dismiss it the way he did Bubble Murray. Like, he understands that he brings it in these moments. And there was a little bit of like, yeah, man, this is my time. This is the stuff I wait for, you know? I got that sense anyway.
I love it, man. All right, let's take a break. Great first segment, fellas. Let's take a break. Thank on the you. Other side. We'll wrap up some more of these practice notes and get into the more preview on the Nuggets and Lakers.
Miller Lite. Miller time here at the DNVR bar. Pick up some Miller Lite for game one on Saturday. The great thing about Miller Lite is it's a light beer, but it still tastes good. It still tastes like actual beer. It's great tasting, not super filling. You can drink a lot of them. Only 96 calories as well. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. It has flavor. It strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most.
Can't wait till Miroslav gets here and gets to it. By the way, Saturday, going to be here at the DNVR bar. You're not going to want to miss it. Come say hi to the homie Miroslav and watch the game. I can't wait to give him a Miller Lite.
Is it? Do you think he's going to think it's better than a...
Yellen?
I think he will.
Light beer sucks. Guy.
We all know that.
Miroslav is a light beer guy, I think.
Yeah. Yellen, the
he's
official
a
beer
man
Serbia.
Like myself. Of course, he's a light beer guy.
Miller Lite tastes great, less filling, only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time to get Miller Lite delivered right to your door. MillerLite.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. per 12 ounces.
Did you sign up for fantasy basketball this year and then completely forget about your team and stop maintaining it throughout the year? And now it's the regular season. You're probably eliminated. Doesn't matter. You can still play fantasy sports. You just got to get in on the action at Underdog Fantasy.
Hell yeah.
The easiest place to play fantasy sports. I love their pick'em game. You're just looking at your favorite or your least favorite players, the guys you watch most closely, and it's higher or lower. You're just looking at their stats, and there are these numbers they're going to give you, and you're competing against other folks out there. There's a fixed pool, and you're just, for me, if I see 3.5 first quarter points for Michael Porter Jr., I'm taking it. I don't know if he's getting 16, but I do know if he's scoring. It's happening early. Maybe in the playoffs, I want to fade Anthony Davis while I'm picking Jokic to go higher on a lot of these numbers here. Higher or lower pick 'em game is awesome. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play. Sign up today with promo code DNVR and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special in your lobby. That's Underdog Fantasy, code DNVR. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
There you go. We are back here with Matt Brooks of Nuggets.com. Fantastic analyst. If you're not following, make sure to follow him and check out all of the work he is doing. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, X's and O's breakdowns, all kinds of good stuff. Interviews.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Great hair, too.
Great. you're so good at getting clips out as you watch.
Oh, yeah.
That's your whole thing.
That's my thing.
Yeah, dude.
He's got it down.
Great research. I got that, you know, I got that Nuggets. That
software.
Team software. Yeah.
Team issued software.
You're a great resource, though, for grades, because whenever I'm about to cut a highlight reel, I'm like, Matt posted it already.
That's fine. What else from practice today?
Christian Brown revealed he also sends text messages to his teammates.
That was funny.
But?
I love it.
But he said mine don't carry as much weight as Nikola's.
They're not as important.
Do you think he's like really tried to like inspire guys? Like, hey guys, listen.
It's winning time, fellas.
It's time to lock in.
One thumbs up for Peyton Watson. Julian Strother party hat emoji. Yeah.
Somebody just leaves the text.
Yeah.
Has left the group chat.
But he said that.
Zeke 100.
What's that?
Zeke with the 100 emoji.
Oh, yeah. Zeke, yeah. Freak 22. But Jamal or CB said that, look, he just tries to make sure guys are staying locked in and focused. I've got to think it's more the young guys that he's sending these texts to.
It's the kids' table group texts.
Yeah. There's two group texts. There's the actual one. Then it's like Christian Brown,
right?
P-Watt, yeah. Strother.
I do love Pickett, the idea of him telling Jamal, hey, man, you got to lock in. You got to lock in right now.
Jamal's like, good call, Christian.
He is a winner, Adam.
He is a winner.
Hey. He does win.
So it's true.
I didn't get to get this question in, and I don't know how good of an answer you can give to it, but I am curious. You know, playoffs, everyone gets tight, everyone gets excited, and all Christian Brown's done his entire life is play winning basketball. Like, is it just old news to him? Does anything change for him in playoff time? Does he get nervous? Because all this guy has done is win his entire life.
He even said today he doesn't really get nervous because his role doesn't require him to.
Right.
You know, do a lot of stuff outside of just hustle and make plays. You know?
Right.
This reflects earlier in the year when I asked him something about like being uncomfortable, and he's like, "Are you kidding me? We have Jokic. I'm always comfortable." And I was like, "Well, I meant more you personally, but I guess that reflects how you feel. Like you automatically went to, of course, I'm comfortable."
Yeah. I think that's about it from practice, though.
Do you have any other takeaways? Any other vibes or noticeables? Wes Unseld Jr. there again today?
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't see him.
I didn't see him either.
He was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
It'd be a quick flight to come here for one day, or a long flight for one day. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's start to get into this series then a little bit, guys, and talk about it. So, Matt, we've mentioned transition. We can go back to it. We've mentioned transition defense. We mentioned some of the different things. What do you feel like if you were to distill this down and say there's one battleground that'll decide this? I mean, is there one? And if so, what would it be?
Is there one? I actually think I just come back to one player. I'm sure you guys mentioned this before, but D'Angelo Russell, like, to me, he is the series. Like, he is the series.
I agree.
They are 20-6 when he scores 20 or more. Last year in the postseason, when he scored more than 17 points, they were 7-0. Guess how many points he scored in the conference finals? High. Any game.
The high. I think he scored 24 total in the series.
In the conference finals?
Yeah, in the conference finals. It was like 6 a game.
17?
He had like 10.
10 points was his high? Wow.
So that's crazy. You're going from like 17, and that's winning you pretty much every single game that you're playing in to like you're not getting even more than 10 from him. He's the key to the series to me. If he's scoring well, that opens up a lot for the Lakers' offense. It gives you more in the half court. If he's scoring 20, he's probably hitting a bunch of pull-up threes, which is huge. You need that spacing and somebody who's initiating from up top. And he's a good passer. Like he'll make plays, especially if he's attracting a crowd because of his shooting. For Denver's side, obviously you're going to put KCP on him, I think, to start. I think Christian has a really big opportunity to be a guy that can affect Russell. He did a good job against him in the regular season, held him to 25% shooting. That's on like 7 total minutes. So I don't know how valuable that is, but he did do a good job. And then on the other side of the floor, we saw it last year in the conference finals. Bruce Brown was relentless about attacking D'Angelo Russell. What does that look like for the Nuggets this year? How are you attacking him defensively? That was another thing I asked, I think Christian, like, what's the keys to dealing with somebody like Russell? And he mentioned you need to be ready for his pull-ups. He's shifty. But he also mentioned you need to attack him on the other side of the ball, which I thought was really interesting and, like, a good sign that that is clearly something that is being, you know, preached at these practices to everyone. We need to attack that guy defensively.
The fact that he said that, like, we need to attack him defensively, I've got to think that's something that the coaching staff has marked as one of their top priorities.
Rightfully
ahead
so.
Ahead of game one.
Yep.
And it is rightfully so. I mean, the first step to neutralizing him is like, yeah, you got to contain him on defense. But the first step I would have to think is going at him on the offensive side of the floor.
Who do we think his primary assignment is defensively? Like, where do we think the Lakers are going to put him? Is it just going to be KCP?
And I think you can get creative with that. As with Denver, like, you can use KCP as a screener, or you could even have him handle the ball a little bit or come off a handoff from Jokic. And, like, you're just going to try to get him switched all the time.
Right.
Just move him around as much as possible.
If it's in transition, we want him switched on to Aaron Gordon. He's going to be posting him up.
Oh, man.
if you can get him matched up with Jamal on, like, a guard-guard screen between Jamal and KCP. Jamal will post him up, and we know Jamal loves posting up the opposing point guards. It's going to be hard, but if you can get him matched up with Anthony Davis, like, that's another one. So I expect a lot of that is, like, try to get him switched, or we're just going to post that guy up and wear him down.
Yeah. I think the guard-to-guard action a lot. I mean, most teams just switch those actions. I'd be surprised if L.A. fought too hard, just because you put yourself in compromises when you refuse to switch guard to guard.
Dude, everybody gives up switches so easily now. It's like,
for a reason, though. And to your point, there are times. Here's where late in games, you switch guard to guard all time, and then teams walk to a screen, and then they just walk into a switch.
It's just like second nature a lot.
But I almost feel like teams, because if you didn't give up that guard to guard action, teams can punish you. Like, teams are too nuanced and smart now, they'll punish you. But I always think late in games, like all game, you've switched guard to guard action, you're coming out of a timeout at the very end of a game. That's when I think teams should mix it up. Like, we're not switching tonight.
Right.
This is the last possession. We're just going to throw them off.
And that's when you get Mike going, all right, hang on, were we switching? Yeah.
That's when you get just like a debilitating defensive miscue. You're and you're like why didn't they switch it?
Oh, that's right.
That's what every coach who's not Eric Spoelstra would love to do in that moment.
Speaking of Eric Spoelstra, whatever. We'll get to it later. Heat were very interesting yesterday. I really enjoyed that game.
Question, who's the trash talker this year? Because like Bruce, part of that was he talked so much trash.
It's a great question.
I am genuinely hopeful
Michael Malone.
Christian comes out of his shell a little bit. I hope Christian comes out of his shell floor. And I know it's typically not personal. Like, it's more of these expressions of passion. But talk some shit, man. Like, direct it at D'Lo. But I like when D'Lo thinks, like, all right, I got to salvage this. Like, I got to respond to this. I got to match this. Like, I think that's good. I'm fine.
I kind of think it's got to be Christian because I don't really see any of the other 5 starters changing up their mentalities that much, you know? Like, maybe Jamal a little bit.
Yeah.
None of the other guys, though. Yeah. Who else would it be?
It's nobody. I honestly, and I don't even think it will be Christian. I think Christian, you know, he'll scream after a dunk and after this or that, but I don't know that he'll be the Bruce yelling at the bench and calling him out.
You can't play this guy.
Yeah, calling him out in pressers or this or that. But I'll tell you something. We're laughing. There are guys in the league that trash talk affects, and there are guys that it doesn't. I think D'Angelo Russell is one that it does.
Severely.
Severely. Yeah, I think he is on the extreme of, Bruce kind of got in his head yesterday. Yeah. You know who else got in his head? Or last year. Do you know who else got in his head? Was Michael Malone going to the podium and being like, very interesting question if they'll keep playing.
Dude, that was so good, man. Was that was after game one, right?
Number one.
Darvin Ham going to bed that night. Wait, do I play him or not?
That was such a fire quote.
But I think honestly, Malone, look, Malone's a tough guy mentally. Very, very tough guy. I don't think you can rattle him. And I think guys like that value guys who are also like that and really discount guys who are not. So I don't know how intentional it was to get necessarily in D'Angelo Russell's head, but I have to imagine some conscious or subconscious part of him knew, like, oh, this guy can't handle this. I can talk my shit to this guy because he's going to wilt.
Darvin Ham's head.
Well,
I think Darvin was... I think it was easy. I think he got right in there.
And I think he wanted everybody on the team looking at him like, are you going to take that? Are you like, or what are you going to do? And the answer was 6 points a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worked out really well.
Yeah.
The answer was we're not going to play him as much, too.
So I wonder. I mean, honestly, you're right about the point. I do wonder if somebody can, one, if you're not doing that stuff, can you still contain him to the same degree? And, you know, that's the big question for this whole series is what impact can you make on him? And then on top of that, the attack part of it is so interesting to me. KCP. So what do you mean when you say you think he could they can exploit? You mean him being more aggressive? Is that a good thing for Denver?
I mean, I kind of if they're going to put D'Lo on KCP, they have to figure out ways that KCP is going to be
going downhill, attacking and pick and roll. Do you feel good about this?
Or use him as a screener. Or, like, there's ways to do it. They also run, like, off-ball plays. They'll run that play where, like, KCP comes out of the corner, comes off a screen from Yoke. It hits the, like, free throw line jumper.
Yeah.
There are plays they can run. I mean, maybe that's not going to, like, take D'Lo out of the game, but it's at least going to make him move around. And those are, like, part of their offense. It's not like they're, like, hijacking their offense for KCP. Like, they do that stuff already. So
maybe they don't in the postseason, but silver lining always feels like a weird thing to say. One outcome of Jamal's extended absences, I felt like we saw more of KCP. Like, all right, put the ball on the floor here. Like, okay, make a pocket pass. And I'm not saying they necessarily want to go to that a bunch of times in the playoffs, but you can. I do feel like you can. And there's a little more outside of the line stuff with KCP than they used him last year. Again, I don't even think you want to go too far outside of your identity. You don't have to beat the 7 seed. But here and there, I think, yes, you can. You can ask KCP to score if it's D'Lo.
Okay. What else? Let's talk about transition. I agree with you that it is not the most difficult thing to cut out when you get into a playoffs as opposed to a regular season because you become more locked in. I don't know what 25% of transition, maybe 50% is, oh, a team wasn't locked in and they gave up bad floor balance or they gave up this. So you can't eliminate it or reduce it. Can Denver eliminate it entirely, though, in your opinion? Like, if you took that away and just said, because Denver's had games where it's like zero fast break points allowed.
Right.
Can Denver reduce it down to where it's not a complete non-factor in the series?
I think it's so hard in the NBA. I just think it's so hard. And it's all, like, based on, like, how you're shooting on the other end.
Yeah.
If you're not shooting the ball well, like, I don't know, it's pretty hard to, like, if your floor balance is off, or even if you have, like, all your guys close to the rim and you miss a shot and it sets up the other team. Like, I don't know. I think that's really hard to do. And so much of it is about, like, running back. And even if you do run back, like, that doesn't mean you're going to have, like, everything perfectly set up. Your small forward guarding their opposing small forward. It's so much to, like, process in a way. Like, I can't even do it real time. I can't be like, oh, well, this person doesn't match up with this person. I don't know how they do it on the floor. I have to, like, go back and watch it.
Yeah.
A second time and be like, oh, I guess they didn't match up correctly here. So I think it's really hard. I mean, you can take away a couple points, but, you know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. I just think it's really hard to do.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. It's probably impossible to eliminate entirely. I do wonder about just the fatigue factor that might set in for the Lakers.
Trying to run?
If they're trying to run off makes, off misses, off everything.
Yep.
Especially at altitude, especially because they're an older team than the Nuggets are, at least their top two guys. And like we saw it last year, you know, the fatigue thing can set in for them, you know, especially if LeBron goes for a 30-point half the first half of game four, then has nothing left in the tank for the second half. You know, we've seen that. So I think that's another storyline, too, just like the fatigue.
And well, to me, a big difference between what we all kind of called locked in Denver and not as locked in Denver this year was turnovers, protecting the ball.
Man, that part.
Yeah. And I think the starting five actually was really good at it this year in those games that they were like, we're playing. And then there were just some games in March and April where they were like, didn't care.
Yeah.
And it looked ugly. So to me, it's like, yeah, they're going to try to create fast breaks, but don't give them the easiest ones, right? Don't turn it over. And
yeah,
you're like, they're scoring those. So
I think fatigue compounds on fast breaks in the playoffs, meaning if you're scoring on them, the fatigue goes down exponentially. Yeah. It's like there's nothing more fun than getting a quick bucket. That saved you energy. But if you're trying to run and not and constantly not getting opportunities or missing your opportunities there, you get extra tired because it's like we put extra energy into this and got nothing out of it. It's deflating. All right, let's take a break on the other side. More keys to this series on the other side with Matt Brooks.
Guys, make sure to check out Red Hawk Roofing if you have any roofing needs, home or business. Quality materials, decades of experience, quick response time. They're huge DNVR supporters, too. They'll probably be here at the bar. If they're not at Ball Arena, they'll be here at the bar for Nuggets Lakers games. They give
I hope
out.
They are.
Here?
Yeah, Brad, I'm sure they here, man. Be. Come on, Brad.
Don't go to the game. Come here.
Yeah, don't go to the game. Be here.
Free no-obligation roof and property inspections. Free in-depth photo reports for all inspections. Colorado's best estimators and contractors. Give them a call today. They'll give you a free upgrade to a hail impact resistant shingle as well.
Ooh, that's fun.
You need that. If you're looking for a new roof over your home or business, check out redhawkroofing.com. Tell them DNVR sent you.
Matt, you big Vegas guy?
Don't even gamble. Never gambled once.
What?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
There's more reasons to go to Vegas than just gambling.
You know what, though? I figured
Summer
out.
League.
I figured Summer out why you're not. It might be because of where you're staying, Matt Brooks. So I would humbly suggest to check out the Circa Sportsbook and Casino. Circa Resort and Casino, excuse me, out in Vegas. It's Vegas' first ever adults-only casino, so no kids. Matt, I know you hate kids. You're always saying that publicly.
Always.
That you just hate children. You hate everyone's child personally. So you would love Vegas' first ever adults-only casino resort. It's also the world's largest sports book. It's their Stadium Swim, which is a 4,000-person capacity pool. Beat the heat in Vegas. Watch your bets play out on their giant LED screen. Experience Stadium Swim and watch your favorite teams at Circa Resort and Casino. Book your stay with code DNVR20 for 20% off.
All right, we are back. Segment three, breaking down this Nuggets-Lakers series. Who do you think, what else do we have here? Who do we think the X Factor will be in the series for Denver? D'Angelo Russell, we agree on the Lakers side. I think that's like a no-brainer at this point. I think he is the X Factor for them.
Yeah, I have a big preview coming out for the website. Go check it out, nuggets.com.
Nice.
Little promo.
Yeah,
for sure.
I have KCP, and I feel like we talked a lot about him, so I don't really.
Okay.
We've done a lot.
Does he need to score? Was it 20 points a game last year? Or this year,
but Matt.
Yeah, so disclaimer. So I put the stat out, I think yesterday, where I said the Nuggets had 4 20-point scores per game this year against the
Technically
Lakers.
Technically true.
Jokic, 29. Jamal, 24. Mike had, I think, like 21 and a half. KCP had 20, right? It's 95 points from your starters. KCP played one game, so there's a hole in my stat. But, you know, hey, listen, numbers talk. So, yeah, I actually think if outside of him, I think Mike is going to play a really big role in this series. In the regular season, especially as the Lakers kind of like figured out what their rotation is going to be, which is that big lineup of AD, Rui Hachimura, and LeBron, that meant LeBron was on MPJ. And MPJ was really good in that third game. Like, really good with LeBron on him. He made LeBron work defensively. He beat him off the dribble a couple of times. We saw, like, the mid-range, like, short-range stuff. I know, Harrison, you've been talking a lot about that this year. We saw a lot of that from MPJ in that specific game. So I think he's, like, a huge X factor there. That's a way for Denver to, you know, if you can exhaust LeBron a little bit defensively and make him work. On the other side of the ball,
with how that game played out, he was guarding Rui Hachimura. I thought it was really interesting going back. I watched the three regular season games. The Nuggets were really liberal about helping off Rui when he was in the corners.
Interesting.
And MPJ, as we know, is like a really good secondary shot blocker. He's become just like taking leaps and bounds just even since I've been in Denver, which is like for 12 minutes basically. But he's really improved on that end. If he's guarding Rui, I really think we could see him have a big series as a defender, you know, mucking up those LeBron, Anthony Davis pick and rolls, or, you know, anytime Davis is really rolling, there's a chance for him to be there. So I thought that was like something that stood out to me a lot watching those games.
Wow. What do you think about that, folks?
Yeah, I'm here for it. I was talking about this with Matt earlier at the arena,
a little more
at the arena today. You know, if you hang out in Lakers replies and forums, they do not think Porter's a scrub. Porter's had some good games against the Lakers.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me a lot of the Clay thing. Like, there's a lot of, we got this if we just stop leaving Mike open. And I'm like, I don't know. You're not leaving him open. Yeah. The Nuggets are getting him open, you know?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that. And I think this is one series, too, where, like, Denver has unique size. To go Mike, AG, and Jokic is really, really hard to match up with because you got to be big enough to hang with Mike, but he is actually a perimeter guy for the most part. And that most teams can't do all three of that, you know, a matchup with all three of those guys. And I do think Mike, kind of with all the things the Lakers prioritize in this series, there's just room for Mike to do damage. So I really like the pick.
I think it's going to be a big series for Aaron Gordon, too.
Yep.
The Nuggets rebounding has been all over the place this year. I haven't gone back and looked at the numbers exactly, but I feel like last year their defensive rebounding was more consistent than it's been this year. This year, it's kind of been up and down. Post All-Star break, there were some stretches where it wasn't good. Earlier in the season, there were some stretches where it wasn't good. And Aaron Gordon at backup center, he's going to be, you know, guarding Anthony Davis at times on those second units. They'll throw like a Jackson Hayes. Like, the Lakers are going to try to beat the Nuggets on the glass when both benches are out there. AG's got to be a beast. No, he's got to be strong. He's got to box out and get rebounds. I mean, that goes to Peyton Watson, too, to Christian Brown as well, who's also got to be good on the glass. Aaron Gordon's going to be vital in that role. And then, you know, on the other end of the floor, I don't think the Lakers' defense is so good that the Nuggets aren't going to be able to just score how they want to. But they'll still be leaving Aaron Gordon open from three. He'll still have to take and make a couple of those just to keep the defense a little honest throughout the series. So it's a massive series for him.
And he's a guy that can post up their guards.
Yeah.
Like we talk about D'Angelo Russell. If you get a leak out or like a transition play, or even if it's like not a full transition play, but you can align the matchups where AG's matched up with Russell, maybe you need to set a screen to get that. That's a huge way to wear those guys down. He's really important there. Fun fact, AG at center this year, they're +4 net rating.
Yeah.
They've been really good again. So,
and I think they have guys, AG, Jokic, who, okay, if this is a matchup where both teams want to run, the Nuggets are really good at creating mismatches in transition, particularly Jokic. He's just like almost his first priority, you know, when they're running is like, okay, if we don't just score out of transition, like what's, like how do we create mismatches here and unfortunate cross matches? And a lot of it is doing like early work and sealing, and AG is really good at that on those smaller guys. So if it's a game that a series that features a lot of transition, like that's one way for AG to kind of force his production in there.
I don't think when we talk about AG at center, I don't think the Lakers can go to Anthony. I think Anthony Davis has to play every minute the Yoke's on the court. I don't think that you can be like, all right, we're going to buy some minutes here with Jackson Hayes. I think Jokic has been beyond the level, but is so far beyond the level that every minute he's on the court needs to just be an absolute murdering by the Nuggets. So because of that, if Anthony Davis is tied to Jokic, then Aaron Gordon, then LeBron James, you wonder, do you go to Jackson Davis small against AG? Mm. Maybe you could own the boards there in theory, right? Like that's what one of their strengths, getting those second chance points. Or do you go to LeBron at backup center? And your point about the +4 is interesting. AG is so good as a backup center, especially in a playoff setting. So is LeBron. So that's a little bit of a strength for strength.
That might tire out LeBron, though, I think.
It could. And maybe that's
a risk.
But they are the Lakers' path to winning is one, D'Angelo Russell having a great series. And the other one is LeBron murdering the tiny windows of opportunity he gets when Yoke's off the court. And he's really good at that. But, you know, that to me, there might be a game where it's like those minutes, they're not going to be long. They might be 4 minutes, 3 minutes or something like that. But if one side won those plus seven, that could be the game right there. Everything else, it's like hard to win the margins by more.
That's at the start of the second quarter and the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because the Nuggets rotation these days is Nikola Jokic is pretty much he's playing the entire first quarter no matter what.
Malone talked about that today.
Yeah. Last playoffs, you know, I think there were still some times when he came out with just a couple minutes left in the first quarter. Like that was a standard rotation for a lot of last season. Jokic could only play the first 10 minutes of the first quarter. Last couple minutes of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, it was the bench. Yoke's playing the entire first quarter now. And then beginning of the second quarter, Jamal Murray's going to be back on the floor. So, yeah, there are very small pockets that the Lakers will have to take advantage of.
Another battleground that I think that we haven't discussed and I think has gone under-discussed, partly because we saw the series last year and it wasn't a factor, but it could be a factor this year. I would attack Jamal Murray as often as possible, even at the expense of like, if you remember the Lakers' first two rounds last year, they just tried to get the split on the road. Every single game was get a split. In fact, I think they would win game one and then punt game two almost. It was like used it as an extra rest day before this old-ass team. But it could be with this year, if they were to win game one, because it's so important to the Lakers, I could see you punting game two from a win perspective at the expense of run Murray off 100,000 screens this game. Post him up. Just try to go at him, and you might lose the game from doing that, you know, overloading so much. But I do think part of their strategy should be to wear down Jamal and make him work as hard as possible and put him on ball as much as possible.
I mean, that kind of goes into my, like, I don't think they do the LeBron is screener thing enough. Like, I just, I watch it, and, like, a lot of times it's like you're having Reeves or Russell, but usually Reeves handle the ball, and Jamal's matched up with Reeves, and that it's – to me, like, that's been one of their best actions just against Denver. But, yeah, I think generally, like, I'm always confused why, like, it's weird. We were actually talking about this yesterday. We were talking about the Suns, how on paper, like, yes, like, they have these three great players and, oh, so many scoring options. But, like, there is some beauty in the simplicity of Denver's late-game offense where they're like, we know exactly what we're going to do. And, like, sometimes I kind of I was on a space yesterday. I asked, like, what is the Lakers' go-to play in the clutch? And it was like, well, I guess like AD, LeBron, pick and roll. And like part of that is they have so many different options and different things that they can run that sometimes it's kind of hard to like pick and choose your spots. Like, should we be running LeBron as screen, or should we be running the AD, LeBron pick and roll that, you know, got us and won us a finals? Should D'Angelo Russell be more involved? It's weird. Like, and I do feel like there's a little bit of push and pull with that. So that's sometimes why you like bring up Jamal. Like, sometimes that's why you're kind of like, oh, I feel like they kind of let Denver off the hook there with that.
I think it's a great point.
Yeah, I think so as well. Any other final thoughts here on this series that you think are important, Matt, that we haven't touched on so far?
Final thoughts.
These teams know each other pretty well, I feel. We were talking the other day, Lakers are not the team defensively they were last year.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they changed stylistic. I mean, if they're going to beat Denver, they're more likely to outscore him than I think they are to shut them down, at least. And that's a little bit different than last year.
Yeah, but I mean, they allowed a 123 offensive rating in the conference finals. Denver's and Denver really put up a 124 offensive rating this year in the regular season. So it's like, hey, if we're going to allow that many points, we might as well be like, let's try to score the same amount.
Yeah.
Which like kind of makes sense philosophically. I've always thought about like, what's the best way to beat the Nuggets? Do you need to come up with this perfect defense that can like try to shut down all of their options or all of their main actions? And it's just like, I just don't think that exists.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, all right, let's just try to do what the Rockets did with Golden State and like score as much as them in like, what, 2017 or whatever.
Yeah.
I just, the coaching matchup in this one is so big with me. Like, Michael Malone is such a better coach than Darvin Ham.
Yeah.
And I think he might run circles around him on the court and in the media.
I hope we get up. I'd love for this to be another get the Nuggets up. Of course, it's fun to clown the Lakers, but I want to see Malone this year. I wonder if he went a little too far last year and is maybe like feeling mild, or I don't know. He might just be like, I know the playbook.
My initial read, I feel like Malone's been pretty guarded in these press conferences these first couple days. I know, but
Was he like that during the the practices leading up to?
I don't remember
the series.
To be
I don't remember.
If you don't
it being
remember,
like that.
It means he was probably not.
Yeah.
The only memorable thing is this is so early in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Be,
yeah.
There was this, almost a culmination timing thing with when he played that card last year, and right now it just feels almost like too early. But
I actually think that's it. That's the take.
I went back and watched some of his pressers from the Western Conference Finals last season, and the one where he. Like calls out Rui Hachimura by name.
Yeah.
So disrespectful. And they're trying to put Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic.
He does say
he was
like
so
that.
Mad when that question was asked like three times. Like, oh, what do you think of the Rui Hachimura adjustment? Yeah. That's another one. Like the Lakers played that for like a full game in the regular season, like the last regular season game this year. Denver knows exactly what they're going to do. These teams know each other so well.
Yeah, I feel like that bodes well for Denver, but we'll find out.
Even last year, Darvin Ham said, like, he's like, guys, the answer isn't to just do that all game. Like, that works for, like, 2 minutes. That works for 2 minutes, and we try to confuse them when we do it. But
we were talking about on the show yesterday, do they start? They've got to start game one with Anthony Davis guarding Jokic, right?
I'm telling you, man.
They got to.
Yeah, I agree. They got to. He's rested. You know, I would think
like
so.
Like, if you don't start the series that way, you're just, like, throwing in the towel automatically, I feel like.
You think?
Yeah.
I think Anthony Davis might request it. It's a long series, Coach. It's really long playoffs. I think we should ease our way into it.
Yeah,
I think he might say that. We'll see. All right, let's take a break on the other side. We're going to just find out how big market is Matt Brooks. Vote has some questions for him.
If you need tickets to the Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, concert show, sporting events, hit up the Game Time app. Last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. Their app is really easy to use, especially if you're on your phone. They got a great interface there. You don't feel like you're going to accidentally like make a wrong purchase or something. Really easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event. Views from all seats in the venues on the app as well. Lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. If you download the Game Time app, sign up with code DNVR, redeem that code. Get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Nuggets tickets, Game 1, Game 2, Avs tickets, Rockies tickets, whatever you need. Game Time has you. Last-minute tickets, lowest price is guaranteed.
There are too many financial institutions out there. Only one you need to remember. Premier Members Credit Union. Not actually a bank, which means they get to do things differently, like put you first. With higher savings interest and lower loan rates. With PMCU, you get local branches, friendly tellers, and the tools you need to save smarter, like their new high-yield savings account, or earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with their reverse-tier money market. When you become a new member at PMCU, you'll get $200. I should do this. That sounds nice. Is it easy? It is easy. I just have to open a checking account, sign up for e-statements, and boom, I'm done. This will be your best money move yet. Head to becomepremier.com to find out more.
Final segment here, DNVR Nuggets podcast with our guest Matt Brooks, who comes from the West Coast. Then he comes from the East Coast. Now he's here in Denver. He is Big Market Brooks. I used to tease you about it, but now, of course, he's the ultimate Colorado guy. I mean, come on. But I want to find out how big market you are. Vote put together a calibration
test. This is my
worst
fear. Yeah. Getting questions that I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
They're worse than you think. So.
Oh, God. It's a collection of stinkers.
Okay.
First of all, 2 seed, real chance to make some noise out east. The New York Knicks being good? Is this good for the league,
Matt
Brooks?
Yeah, it's good for the league.
I mean, it is the Mecca.
I don't know.
Of basketball.
I mean, it's Michael funny. Malone, he grew up in, you know, he grew up
Jeff
in
Van Gundy.
The garden with Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, you know.
It's weird pizza. Leaving the East. Like, I don't have to pay attention to it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care about it.
Matt.
See, I don't want to watch it,
Matt,
man.
I don't even watch Eastern Conference basketball anymore. I don't watch it. Well, I didn't watch the games last night.
You didn't?
No.
There were some bangers.
I watched a game and a half.
Yeah?
Kobe White was unbelievable last night, man. Yeah, that was a special night. That was a really, really cool
good thing
moment.
It doesn't count in the official stat.
Then I hop on. If you don't know, Kobe White had 42. Then I hop on CHGO, pissed that they won the game. Come on,
I'm glad I didn't at them a congratulations. Okay, Matt.
I was in the chat, actually, all hyped. I was like, this is amazing. Kobe White's better than I thought.
Good start there, Matt Brooks.
I do
good
like Kobe.
Good start. It's a Colorado answer. Second question, right, though. Boston Celtics, favorites to win the title?
Have you watched both games against the Denver Nuggets this year?
Right. I have.
Come on.
Are we going with no?
I'm saying. I've been on the... This is so going to come back to me, but I've been on the... First off, I think there's a world where they lose, like, seven or whatever, like, how many games? I can't do math right now.
Well, let's say between... The Nuggets lost six games.
Four
games last year.
Okay, so in the playoffs, I think there's a world where, like, Boston loses 2 to 3 games, maybe.
Before
heading to the finals.
Yeah.
So, like,
I can see
that's a big part of that. Like,
well, they have a Bulls Heat matchup with no Jimmy Butler, no Caruso. That series, if it goes five, would be shameful.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if the Heat goes zone, though?
I mean, spoiler, they will. It's all they can do.
It worked yesterday.
All right. Matt, you've got a great off day planned with your friends. Good weather, good beer. Are you going to the beach or to the mountains?
You can be honest. Beach.
I never liked the beach. I've never liked the beach, which is crazy. I know, being from California, I've never liked the beach. I don't like sand, not huge on water.
Okay,
good. It's like water.
Small market brooks.
I know. Sounds like I'm playing to the crowd.
Not
I swear.
A water guy.
Colorado, the place to be. Not a ton of water.
Landlocked.
Yeah, water hater.
Okay, Matt, the date is April 18th, Tuesday, April 18th, 2024. Better player all time right now, Kevin Durant or Nikola Jokic?
Come on.
It's Jokic.
Jokic.
I'll answer that one for you.
He covered Kevin Durant, and I just wanted to make sure.
He did. I thought, so I watched the second round against the Bucks.
Yeah, it was a great
one. And I was like,
one.
This is the best basketball I've ever watched. And then I watched last year's playoffs, and I was like, this is the best basketball I've ever watched from a single player.
Okay.
The other question you have to ask yourself is, do you think Jokic could have won a title if he would have joined the 73-win Warriors that year?
This
do you think
so
they would
true.
Have won?
It would have been tough, man.
It would have been tough. But I kind of think he would have. I think they would have been good.
New question. Yeah. Steph Curry or Jokic all time? You're a Bay Area guy.
Oh, I'm Jokic as well.
Wow. So. Yeah. This one I think Jokic has to rise to.
It's probably still Curry in the all-time ranking.
I think all-time, peak Jokic, right. I think, is higher than Steph.
All right.
I think that's fair. Last year's Jokic run was probably better than... Steph's had some good runs. But. So.
All right, this one's for Brooklyn Brooks.
Oh, boy.
Bodegas. Rate them 1 through 10.
Bodega. What? Is that a place here?
You don't know what a bodega is?
No, I know what a bodega is, but are you saying is there a place here?
No,
bodega?
I'm saying you come from New York. You were
one of the things I've missed
just
the most.
Just the general idea.
One
bodegas.
Of the things I've missed the most, absolutely.
Is our
like
first
a nine,
big market.
A 10?
Like a 9.5, honestly.
Okay. What's
like,
your
I
go-to
really
order
them.
Out of bodega?
Chopped cheese? See. Yeah, I also was just like a classic like bacon, egg, and cheese guy. Yeah. It's like so boring, and that's how you know I'm like didn't live in New York long enough. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I like a bacon, egg,
no,
and
that's
cheese.
Good. Yeah. That's the right answer. That's
I love the train. Like that's how you know I didn't live in New York that long, but I lived enough there to be like, I value a bodega.
Okay, best road trip city in the NBA.
Oh man, that's a tough one. Best road trip city. Best road trip city. I haven't traveled enough to really give you a good answer on that, and that is such a cop-out.
Well, what are the ones you've done, though?
LA was fun. I liked LA because I felt familiar for me. I like okay. I'm from up north, which is like 6 hours away, but going to LA was like pretty nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be it.
Man,
I thought Phoenix was cool, too. I liked Phoenix.
As Katie told us, man, the team stays at the beach. That's half of it, was where do you stay?
I was right. Like, oh, that's why everyone loves LA. Like, yeah. Oh, you stay at the beach.
Yeah. Okay. I went there. I stayed in Koreatown. Wasn't nearly as charming.
We're different.
It was pretty rough, actually.
Okay, Matt, one more for you. So far, you're proving not to be that big market. Are the Lakers the toughest 7 seed of all time?
Oh, man.
They are tough for a 7 seed.
Yeah, they're tough. My Brooklyn Nets, you know, were formerly the toughest 7 seed of all time.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And then they lost in 4 to the Celtics, so, yeah.
Who was the 7 seed last year?
Was it the
Warriors?
Yeah, the Warriors, I think. I think it was the Warriors.
Right. Lakers are probably a little better than... Or are they? I don't know.
Lakers last year beat the Warriors. I don't know.
All right,
last
two more for you.
The Lakers.
Was two
the
more for you, Matt. We'll finish strong.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was the Lakers.
Yeah, because they beat Memphis.
You're right.
Yeah.
East Coast or West Coast?
Oh, man. Both has its benefits. Depends where you live in the West. There are parts of the West Coast I like a lot more. I grew up in the West Coast. Like, I just feel like I know it better. It feels more familiar, but I really enjoyed living in the East Coast.
Hmm.
What okay. a cop out. Finally, West Coast.
No. There we go. Three sickening global brands. You have to pick one. The New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Lakers, and Manchester United.
This is like fuck, marry, kill.
Manchester oh United.
With the big market ones.
I don't follow soccer, so I just feel like I need to pick Man U, right? Like, is
that okay. Good answer.
Yeah,
good answer.
What's the best pizza in New York?
Best pizza? I had a good place near me. What the hell is that place called? It's in Brooklyn. I've been away too
long. Cali?
In Cali, it doesn't exist.
No, Lou Cali.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's like okay. a renowned place.
Hold on, I'm going to look this up. Give me half a second.
Well, while you're looking
Lucali,
it up, let's
Lucali,
talk real quick.
DeFara.
I'm curious real quick. Let's just go quickly here. Everybody's favorite series in this place, besides Nuggets, of
besides
course.
Nuggets, Lakers.
What are you guys most interested in?
I'm just going to say Suns-Wolves,
it's
man.
It's Suns-Wolves for me.
Let's just say
Suns-Wolves. I can't wait for Suns-Wolves. Like, I think, I just think, like, it's going to be competitive. I think Minnesota all of a sudden has just a ton of pressure on themselves to win.
Yeah.
And it already feels like a bit of a matchup that they're, like, nervous about.
Okay.
I can sense the nervousness from the Timberwolves about this matchup.
They have a lot riding on it. I think this is a legacy play for both sides.
Yeah.
If the Wolves lose in the first round, man, throw all the good vibes of this era out.
Yeah.
They're all completely lost. And then same thing for the Suns.
Right.
I feel like their fan base is a little more down right now because of how just clunky the last couple years have been.
Yeah.
But same thing, man. You lose in the first round with that payroll. Ugh, that's a good one. For me, it's Mavs, Clippers. I'm most interested in that one. I am interested that the line has moved as much as it has. That's been very interesting
Kawhi's
to me.
Kawhi's status is doubtful for game
which
one.
Is probably why the line is moving so much. But nonetheless, man, that's another one that I just think will be good basketball, high stakes, and chippy, which I think makes good. What about you?
First up, place is called Roberta's Bushwick.
Shout out
Roberta's.
There you go. Series I'm looking forward to the most. Suns Wolves is what I'll be watching a lot. I'm sort of intrigued to see who OKC plays.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of like watching the Kings. I learned that after one play-in game. I just kind of liked watching them.
That was an electric game.
The crowd was good.
That I don't know if that's indicative of every
game. I'm going to regret that within like 5 minutes of that series. But yeah, I don't know. I think those are probably the ones I'm really looking forward to. The one I'll pick is Bucks-Pacers for the sheer chaos of it. Because right now,
I'll watch that one.
It feels like we have just a masterpiece brewing of like, whoa, is Giannis going to leave? It feels like, and Indiana's really fun. If you want to go into like the specifics, Halliburton, I think, could have a really big series. He's like one of my favorite players to watch this year.
For sure.
Going up against Brook Lopez and drop, I think that's a good recipe to get him going. That series I think will be really fun. Otherwise, in the East, I'm just like not really keyed in on too much going on over there. But that one I'm watching just because like, no matter what happens, it'll be very entertaining. The aftermath of it, I think.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one as well. Knicks 76ers lost a little luster after watching the 76ers last night. They looked pretty bad.
Indeed,
it was funny. Legler, this is not me. The All-NBA show was a banger today, I thought. Legler was pretty hilarious. He really was mad at Bam Adebayo after last night, which kind of surprised me. I'm not a guy I would have picked legs to go all in being furious at. But he made this note, and I'm just going to say it apropos of nothing. After that first quarter, Embiid sure seemed to check his knee brace a lot.
I noticed his energy picked up after Nick Batum's 6-3-pointer.
Yeah.
I noticed the energy picked up.
There was a lot of like, man, this knee brace needs readjusted. It takes some luster out because if he's fully healthy, to me, it would be, in a lot of ways, a legacy series for him because the Knicks are good enough to make you have to earn it.
Yeah.
But the 76ers are good enough to earn it. But with him being his knee being hurt, and how hard can he go? It's just hard to say. Like right now, I think Knicks in five because he looked so bad last night that physically that I don't think he can do it. But they should. If he's healthy, they should because the Knicks are also – they're a great, hard-working team, but they are deficient in areas that should be exploited. We'll see. Right. So that series I wish I could put on the list, but I'm not. Let's get to Super Chats.
James Davis, once again wearing my Smugget shirt around LA and getting compliments for all the wrong reasons. You know what, James? I've also done this. I've also gone to LA and worn my Smugget shirt everywhere. It feels great.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Another James, Darshwesky. I can't see it from here. I'm sorry, James. Darshwesky. Love what you guys do. Really helped me when I felt homesick in college, and also fuck the Lakers.
Love it.
A perfect super chat?
Perfect
wow.
super chat. Wow. Cedric Exquisite. Hashtag beat LA. Let's fucking go. Good to see you, Matt. Mark Gunderman. I'm an OG Colorado sports fan from the 70s, returning home this week from New Jersey. What's up, Brandon? Yeah. What's up, Mark? To see the Nuggets play the Lakers, I'm planning on being at the bar and maybe catch a drink with you guys. Love the show.
Come through a Saturday. Let's have a drink together. It's a Saturday.
That part shouldn't be hard. Bashir Daoud
here also. Come say hi to the homie.
And Bashir Daoud. Will Malone or Jokic reach Jackson Jordan level in 2025?
The prophecy. That's the some people are prophesying.
Some people are. The streets are prophesizing.
The streets are prophesizing.
It's
that could
on
be
the table, we could say.
It's on the table. By the way, Team USA, this is the thing Langler kept going in on. He's not just an all-star. He's an Olympian.
Oh, God. Langler, come on, man.
Well, he was saying it tongue-in-cheek as in you can't score 11.
Oh, he was?
Okay. Yeah, I'm saying 11 points. The guy's an Olympian. Like, you got to. How can you be an Olympian and only score 11 points in a huge game? I thought it was great.
I'm glad. We'll talk Team USA maybe on tomorrow's show, but I'm just glad they left that last spot open for Kawhi Leonard, who's questionable for game one of the playoffs.
He's just perpetually questionable. He's on the roster for the whole Olympics. Never plays. Yeah. They just held it for him. Hit He's that outro Olympian. Music. Matt, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, dude, it was fun.
It's fun.
Natural fit.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's felt great.
Everybody follow his work, nuggets.com. He does a tremendous job. Really elevated all of the coverage, honestly, from the Nuggets team. Social, everything, I think, has been incredible last couple of years. But
I agree.
Since Matt arrived, Nuggets have not lost, so don't go anywhere. Hit that like button for us on the way out. We'll see you next time. Y'all silly like the mayor.